Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
I'm Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Connolly.
That's actually not Kevin Connolly. He's not here with us. He's doing a movie, which I know nothing about.
I'll tell you a little bit about it, but this reminds me of that episode of our show, Entourage, where you walk off with Vince.
One of my favorite lines.
Man. What do you say?
It was something like, it's just you and me, bro, like the good old days. Before those jerk-offs were around, something like that.
I got to tell you, I feel incredibly free without Connolly. I mean, I feel like,
It's free. It's freedom.
There's no pressure.
We do have someone in the booth with us, Mike Young here.
Mike Young, who's going to open for our live show, is here. He's gonna.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. You're going to warm up the audience a little bit.
I'm going to set the table for you, Kev.
Dude, that's going to be a tough act to follow, Doug.
You know what? Maybe we'll just leave him on for 90 minutes and take the money.
We should warm him up.
You know what? You might be right, because he's prepped.
He's funny.
He's very funny. So he's going to open up.
We should get Kirk Fox in there, too.
He could do a tight 10.
Yeah.
Put Kirk in there.
Kirk's got a big following.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Get
very
Kirk
funny.
Fox. By the way, if we get 10 big comedians, we don't have to do anything.
Nothing. You guys just
there
do a meet
go.
And greet.
Yeah. By the way, Dillon loves a meet and
greet. I'm all about a meet and greet.
So this is for anyone. You know, we had an episode, Mike Young. You know, it dropped today, your episode today. Not today, because this will be tomorrow, but it's up there. We have an episode that we talked about, this live show, Phoenix, Saturday, February 11th.
Have we talked about it, though, Doug? I don't think we've talked about it on Victory yet.
It aired today. You weren't there. Connolly, okay. and Mike Young. So this is happening in 2 weeks. We have to sell tickets, or Kevin Dillon is going to commit suicide. So don't humiliate him. If you know anyone in Phoenix, if you like comedy, because we're going to bring some real comedians. Mike, your other friend's going to do some stuff too, right? Who's that?
My buddy Adam Ray wants to come in and do a little audience when you guys do your Q&A. He's on that show Young Rock. He's got a big following. Phoenix is his place. He'll move tickets for you.
Nice.
He's a huge fan of the show.
Cool, man.
Wants
cool.
No money.
All right.
He's in.
So when you guys walked in.
He doesn't want a cut of our money.
Yeah. No cut.
Yeah. And also, I'll get to that in a second. But when you guys walked in, I was in a high-level meeting, which I think you guys were pretty impressed by. But Wiz Khalifa, we were in a meeting.
Well, unbelievable.
When I walked in, I smelled weed. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I thought Kevin Connolly left. Because the last show we did, he was high.
Yeah.
He smoked a joint.
Which was great.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. So Dillon, you're a fucking beast because Constance Schwartz, who represents Wiz and set up this meeting for me and him, she said, do you mind if he smokes in the studio? And I said, I'll smoke with him if he does the podcast. And she said, see how the vibe is. And he's awesome. He could not be nicer. But I still was nervous to go, hey, you want to do the podcast? Even though he was sitting in the seat that Mike Young is sitting in. But Dillon comes in and just goes, why don't you do the podcast right now, bro?
Come on, man. Come on, let's go.
So he said he'll come on, though. So he's going to come on. But also, Dillon, you should have seen if you could have gotten him to open for us in Phoenix. Because then we sell some tickets.
Well, then you move your show to the arena.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He sells arena tickets.
And then we warm him up.
Yeah. What a great guy, though. I mean, just so
really cool dude, man.
So we're talking about doing a show together. We'll see if I want to write, but also just a little ramble on updates. Had a big agency meeting this morning with one of the biggest agencies.
Can we
in town.
Maybe squeeze them into Ramble On somehow?
100%.
I mean, why not? Right?
By the way, that would definitely, if we end up doing this show together, me and him, it would be a great entree to get him on Ramble On first. But anyway, big agency meeting today. I think we're set with who's going to represent this, I believe. And then we will start moving forward, trying to get people to watch it. Other news before we get to whatever we're going to get to. Kevin Dillon is representing the Chicago Slice Major League Pickleball team.
Yeah, I don't usually dress like this, but I feel like a clown right now. He's got me in all this gear.
You look phenomenal. You're never a clown in Slice gear, bro.
No, and I'm kidding, man.
And I'm taking it, which maybe you could deliver it.
Hey, they're my favorite pickleball team.
But Dillon, say Slice Country, Let's Ride, which is...
Slice Country, Let's Ride.
I'm stealing
I don't know any other pickleball teams, though. I have to put that out
there. I am stealing that from Russell Wilson. person. I think he made it corny. The Slice is going to make it cool, so it's going to be Slice Country, Let's Ride. That's going to be our catchphrase.
I mean, the Slice is a moving pickleball. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, but yeah. Mesa, Arizona, we've got our first match against Miami coming up, and we're going to see if this sport can grow because it really seems like it is. ESPN just announced they're going to start showing pickleball, so anyway, I won't talk about it anymore because one of the reviewers said he likes to skip over any time I mention pickleball. Yeah. So,
can you imagine if Doug becomes a professional pickleball, a pro athlete?
I like, can't.
Your
be.
Dream,
pretty
could,
damn good.
Your dream could come true.
Well, let me tell you two things about that because I actually believed that a year ago that was possible. I actually believed, you know, while all these guys, Ryan Sherry and Wes Burrows and Matt McNasty, all think like
until you played one. Right?
I'm a hack. No, now the same guys that I played a year ago, who were always better athletes than me, but I thought this was a sport I could get rid of their athleticism. And that's no longer possible. So it's gone to a whole other level, and I am proud to admit that I suck when compared to pros. Now, I'll destroy the two of you.
Oh.
But against these guys now, I'm not fast enough, and I'm not strong enough, and I'm not young enough.
So we could be on one side of the court against you alone.
Oh, I could beat you and Mike left-handed.
No
yes.
way. No, yeah. no, Doug.
Yeah,
no,
I could. No. I could.
He probably could.
I could. I could. You
he
don't
beat
understand.
Me with his phone.
Yeah. I know. You're great.
It's not about being great. It's about that you've never played and I will destroy you.
I've played.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll bring you out there and we'll show you what's what. But
we'll take that challenge, Doug. We will take it.
But accepted.
But I want to talk about because the reviews, do you know what the reviews said? This other review, and people think I'm obsessed with the reviews. I enjoy it. I like to see it. I like to see the positivity. And I hope give Kevin Dillon more positivity because he's very fucking insecure. He needs love. Give it to him. So
I don't even read the reviews.
You know what they said?
What?
They said that we were mean, and I don't know if they mean you. And I don't know why they would mean me, but they meant Connolly. They said we were mean to Stock Tip Dave on the last episode.
I'm always good to Stock.
I think so, but you know what they called us?
What?
Jocks. I've never been called a jock my whole life. The guy said, you jocks, picking on Stock Tip Dave. So thank you for calling me a jock.
Now you know how I feel. You know, I am quite a jock.
Now, Dillon, you were in the marching band in high school, so I don't know about
Is that true?
I did a little bit of marching band stuff.
Oh, man.
And he was a drummer. Real.
Very little, very little.
And he was a drummer, which is, I can't picture.
I was a baseball player. Bro.
I could see you being a drummer, Kev, in a band.
Yeah, I still play.
In school.
He was a drummer in the movie The Doors.
I bought drumsticks yesterday. My sticks were all chewed up.
What do you mean chewed up?
Yeah, they get all chewed up. You hit the cymbals, they start breaking.
All right, so you don't chew on them.
I hit them hard. I hit the drums hard like a man.
All right, so Kevin Connolly is in Amsterdam. You know nothing about this.
I know he's in Amsterdam. I thought he was going to look at some burlesque shows or something.
I want to see your reaction. I wish I was on a dolly track so I could push in on Kevin Dillon right now. Do you know what he's playing in this movie that he's in?
A jockey? I don't know. You tell me.
I think you're going to be even more shocked. Young, you ready for Kevin Dillon's reaction?
Yeah.
Kevin Connolly is in a major movie, major motion picture, playing Jesus Christ.
Shut up.
This is a true story.
Connolly.
Come on.
Now, I'm not sure if it's the baby Jesus or if he's a full-grown adult Jesus. He's
going to be in the manger. Maybe we could be the three kings.
What do you think?
Is he really? Come on.
Yes, he really is. Yeah. Major motion picture.
Really?
Yeah. They flew him to Amsterdam and
the beard is grown out. He's on the plane, excited.
Now, can I tell you something? I laughed when he first told me.
Is it a comedy?
Well.
It's gotta be a comedy.
I don't think it is.
It's a comedy.
Is it a comedy?
It's gotta be.
I gotta tell you though, he first told me and I went, what the hell? And then I ate some edibles and I went to sleep and he was in my dream and I can actually. He also kind of morphed into Jared Leto, who I don't know if Jared Leto's ever played Jesus, but he could.
Yeah.
Connolly's got, again, don't anyone get mad at me. I know Jesus might have been black or Arabic or whatever, and Connolly's the furthest thing from black or Arabic. He's going to be the palest Jesus to have ever walked the earth.
Pale Jesus.
But he's kind of got those
freckled Jesus.
He's got those eyes that I've seen.
He's got bright eyes. His beard's coming out.
He's got the eyes.
He's got a chiseled face. It's just the
chiseled face.
It's the rest of him that doesn't look like Jesus.
They better hire a small cast. I think Jesus towered above the rest.
They better use a small cross.
Put him on an apple box.
Yo, Wiz should play Jesus.
You know what? Wiz
is a great Jesus.
Can you imagine? We mentioned this on the podcast, and they fire Connolly, and next you know they're flying Wiz out to wherever this is. But he's in Amsterdam, and it's coming.
Wow!
So
who else is in it? Who's doing it?
I know nothing else about it except it's obviously a real movie because they flew him to Amsterdam.
I know Alicia Silverstone's in it.
Is that right?
That's the only other person I know that's in it. And it's some European directors who Kevin said were just wild.
Yeah.
He dug the script. He said it was a crazy script. I heard him on the phone with those guys. Cool. Everyone's excited. And he's in Amsterdam.
Did he bring the family too? Or?
No.
Left the family here.
No, just him and his sippy cup.
That's dangerous.
And his Bible. No. Do you, Dylan, like, I mean, I ask this because I know, like, you can't portray the Prophet Muhammad or you could cause a lot of problems. Like, and I know when The Last Temptation of Christ came out, which is Willem Dafoe, there were a lot of crazy protests and stuff. So,
That was a very controversial version.
Right.
And, of course.
You know, the Connolly's controversial is
Caviezel.
Jesus.
I mean, that's about to be. That's going to be fun. It's going to be a goof. It's got to be a goof.
Yeah, so people will be fine.
Nobody will get upset about it, I don't think.
So nothing about you as a religious person is bothered by Kevin Connolly's Jesus Christ?
I'm not overly religious. You know, I try to make it to church on Good Friday or Christmas or whatever, but.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see whatever because I honestly we're making fun of Kevin, but Kevin is a very underrated actor. Mike Young, you saw the Ramblon pilot; he's phenomenal in it. If we ever get it on the air, it's going to get him nominated.
I was thinking I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking Connolly is a solid actor, and he's so often like he discards acting sometimes in his own life. And you're like, Kev, you are a damn good actor.
Yeah.
It was like when you got him on the show. I remember those days. He was like, I'm retired from acting at like 28, whatever, however old he is. He's like, I'm only directing now.
I think you know what, Kevin.
I understand. That though this business will make you want to quit. It really will.
It's also I think all of us we have this anxiety, and once you start putting yourself out there, like we were talking about it with the show after, you don't want to fail when you put all this effort into it. And you know when we had John McGinley on the podcast, he talked about it. You gotta like stand up comedy, which Mike does. You gotta get past that where it doesn't matter. You go in, you do your job, and if you get it, you get it, and if you don't, you don't. And I don't think any of the three of us ever are totally like that because I hate going out and pitching an entire thing, waiting to get feedback. Do you like auditioning?
I hate auditioning. What I hate most is putting the work in, and nobody ever sees it, and it's just like a big waste of time, it feels like, in the end.
Singing for your supper.
Yeah, exactly. One of the great speeches you wrote. You wrote that one, right, Doug?
Come on. No, Mike Young wrote it.
Check The Office.
Singing for my supper. I wish I could remember it. It was my favorite speech.
You were amazing in it, too. And, you know, a lot of people have been talking to me online about the show recently. It's weird. There was a GQ article that came out from a trans woman who said she doesn't know why, because everything about this show should offend her, but she is obsessed with it. She's watched it 3 times and loves it. And you know, that... It makes me happy because obviously we took some heat, but I think the tide is turning. And we were talking about somebody tweeted to me, like, did you see the show as drama was the heart? And I said, absolutely. Like, Kevin Dillon in the show, Johnny Drama, represents the real struggle of Hollywood, the real heart of Hollywood. And Vince represents the fantasy that almost none of us ever get. And we had it for a little while.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg does.
Like
he really is. Mark, you know, it was why when the show first started.
Midas touch, everything he does.
When Mark first came to me about doing this show, I was like, there's no show because you have no struggle. There is no conflict. And what I tried to do, some people make fun of the ups and downs of Vince's career, but that's the real life for almost everybody in this business and certainly has been for me and I think for you as well, Kevin.
Oh, no doubt.
If you fly a lot, then you're used to hearing the word no far too often. No, you can't check your bag for free. No, you can't have a cocktail. No, it's not convenient. You'll need to check in 2 hours before your flight, and you can't bring your dog. We hear no when we fly so much, we're practically conditioned to expect it. The good news is you have a choice. In a world full of no, JSX is a resounding yes. Yes to checking at least 2 bags for free. Yes to free in-flight service, including gourmet snacks, light bites, and cocktails. Yes to legroom. Yes to high-speed Starlink Wi-Fi at zero charge, rolling out across the entire fleet. Yes to rolling up to a crowd-free private terminal just 20 minutes before your flight. Yes to bring your pet with you as a valued member of your family. Welcome to a joyfully simple way to fly with JSX, a hop-on jet service that strips the stress and hassle from your travel experience and makes flying an enjoyable part of your journey. JSX is everything you want from flying and none of what you don't. Say it with us. Yes, your bags fly free, even golf clubs and skis. Yes, you can bring your dog or cat in its carrier for no charge. Yes, you can even bring a dog up to 79 pounds with you in the cabin for a nominal fee. Yes, you can have that vodka soda. In fact, let's make it a double on us, of course. You can finally say yes to superb service as a rule, not an exception. It's time to step out of line and embrace an entirely new way to fly, completely designed around you. As a Victory Podcast listener, you can enjoy $50 off your next JSX flight by using code JOYFUL50 at checkout. That's JOYFUL50 for $50 off your next JSX flight. Book by 2/28 for travel through 9/30. Blackout dates may apply. Don't wait. Visit www.jsx.com and book your flight today. That's www.jsx.com and code JOYFUL50 for $50 off.
It was the Wizard of Oz. Kev was the heart, right?
Yeah.
Vince was Dorothy.
Did you get high with Wiz?
I wish. I was ready.
So I was the Tin Man.
I wasn't here long enough.
Turtle was the Straw Man.
It's an interesting way to look at it. Ari was the Wicked Witch of the East.
Well, I guess Vince was Dorothy then.
This was Dorothy.
But, you know, Vince was the fantasy. You know, when Wiz left, and I don't know. I mean, there's certain people who come in. I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of people. And, like, I had a meeting, and I asked him for a picture. I feel like a douchebag, but you know what? There's some people that I'm just a big fan of, and I wanted a picture.
Doug, he's a global superstar. Yeah. And what I always love when I'm on the road, and I've been telling Doug this for years, when I'm on the road and when I was on the road with Saget, he used to always mention Entourage, like even on stage. And so I always try to tell you, like, people in the streets, they still buzz about the show to this day. I get one every week. I get like a call from a friend, from a comedian who's like blowing up now. And they're like, that was my favorite show, this episode, that episode.
Well, so every single one of those people that calls, you need to say, buy a ticket to Phoenix. I don't even care if they're in Phoenix. We have to sell this.
But what's cool is a lot of younger generations getting into it. I think
my nephew's 22.
The pandemic helped with all that.
My nephew's 22. His whole crew at University of Michigan watches Entourage.
Yeah. Cool.
There's another world out there watching and rewatching. You're off on your own world, career. You don't know the streets are talking.
They want a reboot. The streets want a reboot.
And I think, just like Doug said, I think it's coming back around to where it's going to be okay to do the things thematically that you were doing soon.
It's definitely come back around. And again,
it's here now.
The world evolves where, you know.
I
was talking to Wiz about this. You know, like, Ari's not going to talk the same way. That doesn't mean the show won't have the same edge and the same bite. Just, you don't walk into an office and talk like that in 2023. But at the same time, men still like women. Women still like men.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in between also. I get it. But, I mean, it's just, you know, we can do it and we're going to do some things. But we're going to do some things on the stage in Phoenix that's going to be fun. Dylan, I know it's not your favorite thing to do. Do you have anxiety about it, or you just don't?
No, I just feel like it should just be the podcast. Just do what we do here. Hmm. Or we should really work through it.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't really work through either of them.
Yeah. I'm going to have an outline that we'll talk about. We'll see if you guys like it, and then we'll go from there. But the interesting thing is this whole, I think we could do, I've been talking to these guys about, we need content always. We could do content on this whole trip. First of all, right now, it's Super Bowl weekend. We don't have flights booked, and we don't have a hotel booked.
Yeah.
And it is not easy. No. Mike Young is already
in the I got a room. I'm good. I got people with a house. They'll put you in their house.
You gotta stay with Mike.
You can stay with me.
You may have to ask someone with a house, and we may have to stay there. But Connolly, Dylan, you
it's
weren't here.
It's gonna be tough, man.
You weren't here the other day. Connolly, like, he doesn't want to stay in an Airbnb with you and I. Like, what kind of really? Fucking creep is this guy? Like,
I have a question. The Stand Up Live, February 11th, didn't Stand Up Live call you guys and go, hey, there's a beautiful hotel right next to the club?
No.
Didn't they tell you guys have rooms there?
No.
But did they tell you you don't have rooms there?
They didn't tell us anything. They just said,
I mean,
we'll
I'll get the owner on the phone right now. There's 100%
and
they have rooms.
Is it decent? Is it nice?
It's a great place. Boutique hotel. I think you'd like it.
Can you check?
Let's
really
do that.
I mean, I'll get the
Let's
guy on the phone
that.
Right after this.
It'd be
this.
Nice to get that over with.
A lot of people don't understand that Dylan Connolly and I are so far removed from anything professional at this point that I don't know. We got an offer to go. we said yes, and now we've got to go.
First of all, sharing a house would be no problem with the three of us.
What's he talking about?
By the way, they got three bedrooms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, like, what's he worried about in this, you know?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to rub one out while he gets the chance.
Connolly loves his privacy.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. It's a weird one.
I stayed at his house before.
Really?
Yeah, I was asked to leave earlier than you need to.
Wait, what is that?
Really?
Mean? No, Connolly.
He said you've overstayed your welcome. No. You got to go.
Well, he's married with a kid now. We're not even going to get into the night I stayed at Connolly's, but Kevin likes his privacy.
Do you know that
Connolly's a private dude?
Dan Sanborn, who brought us the Johnny Drama, Johnny Walker stuff when we did a commercial and the bottles and all of that, and we did a couple other things with him. We're going out to dinner with me, him, and Connolly, and like we go over to Connolly's house, and Connolly's like getting ready, and I'm like, okay, open the door, let us in. He's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean no? And he left us standing in the street. I'm with this exec who's also a friend, but who paid Kevin a lot of money to direct a commercial. And Kevin's like, no. I'm like, what are you, fucking crazy? Like,
I've stayed in a room with him.
It might have been messy or something. He didn't want to show it to you.
Messy.
Maybe.
I stayed in Sundance with Connolly. I shared a room with Connolly. I just remember.
When we were filming?
Probably why he's all freaked out. He had to stay in a room.
He woke up with Mike Young in bed with him, rubbing his back.
Leaning over, staring at him.
Looking at those Jesus eyes. Oh, Kevin.
Come to think of it, we checked in together and he left early. It was when he had a short film at Sundance.
Short film.
Connolly had at Sundance. I shared a room with him.
Short guy with a short, Mike.
He wanted to get out. I had the greatest weekend ever, just like I always do off your show. I've had 10 of my greatest weekends off of the trail of Entourage.
Well, what was the best?
The best was your Sundance episode. I don't even know if you remember what you did for me. But Sundance episode, you call me, you go, listen, HBO has like an extra villa, or like an extra room. I'm not going to be staying there. I'm staying somewhere else. Would you want it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll take a room. I get there. It's a 4-bedroom, amazing condo at the base of the mountain with a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
I didn't even see you guys that weekend. I had the best weekend ever.
See, that's why
ever.
People need to understand.
And then all the swag you came home with.
Came home with two cases of swag. I still wear it in
this
day.
But we have provided. I like that you tell this, Mike. I have provided you with Entourage moments. Like,
yeah, you clothed me for 6 years.
And fed you.
Do they still give swag away like that?
Not like that.
No,
that was
I mean,
the best.
The old days were great.
Please, Doug, I got the Mike Young Nikes, the Nike Mike Youngs from going with you, remember?
To
the Nike house.
Of course I remember. Yeah,
from Tracy from Gray. The show.
Yeah,
I designed amazing blue. Nice. I still wear them once in a while.
I like that though, because people need to understand that's how this group has always been with our friends. Come along now, Mike Young was almost really part of the Entourage because Mike Young almost auditioned for E, but he decided to decline the invite. Can you imagine?
What? Really?
You don't know that
decline.
That would have been a different show, man.
This is how
I can see him doing it though.
This
really?
Is how the world is.
Yeah, I kind of can.
Are you kidding? I'd have been a great fourth friend.
Do we fire Connolly from the reboot and get Mike Young?
No, but I need to be, you know, so like, you have a friend who's a comedian. I mean, I got to get in the mix.
We're going to see how you do on this opening night. Opening mic for the live show, Phoenix, February 11th.
I can't wait. It's
going to be
great. How many
tickets are you going to personally sell?
I don't know. That's a lot of pressure, Doug. I'm by the way, I'm not even reaching out. People are calling me going, hey, we're buying tickets. Bought some for me and my friends. Tickets are finally on sale.
How many minutes are you doing?
I think I'm good for 81 tickets.
81 tickets?
That's just a number.
Each show?
How many seats are there?
I feel like if they know that I'm there.
No.
Wait.
Each show? 160 tickets?
I mean, that's what I'm. I mean, I've played there many times.
You would be phenomenal if you delivered 160.
You know the place.
The only thing I'm saying, Kev, I'd like to appear a little larger on the poster. If you look at me, it's kind of tough to see me.
I look
like a mistake in the corner, but I'm not going to fight with Doug.
I haven't seen the poster.
It's almost as funny as the poster Saget made for me as a joke. Because
who
it's
fought
like,
with you?
It's you, Kevin, and Kevin, like, you know. Three major figures, and there's like if you looked, it looks like a microphone, but it's actually my body, and it's in the corner of
I gotta
a poster.
Look at this.
First of all,
special guest Mike.
I need to say something, Kev. Let me have this floor for a minute. I got a jerk off on the Ramble On show who went crazy over an unreleased press release that was sent to him so he could give his comments, and we'll never speak again over this. I sent it to you for your comments, and before I before I even had a chance to do anything, I already got Scotty over at Action Park. We weren't together. I texted you 30 seconds later, goes, don't post that. Mike Young has notes. You gave your notes.
Well, I gave one note. I didn't want to say,
you could
make
have said
me larger.
You wanted. I
you'll make me bigger on the next one. We'll do another poster.
By the way,
another graphic.
Mike, we'll you keep selling tickets. Your face will be bigger than Dylan's, to be honest with you.
To be honest with you, I get kills on these, and I have not seen this poster. So where
you
is it?
You posted it. What are you talking about? You just posted it on your Instagram. Yeah.
He takes over my Instagram. I can have to take a look.
My life is so sad. Kevin's like my young girlfriend.
Okay, yeah, this one right here.
Manage him.
Oh, there's Mike in the corner.
You see me in the corner, Kevin? You don't even know that's me.
I didn't even notice you down there.
Yeah.
Well, you can have Scotty redo the poster because I don't care about any of that. The truth is, I said I don't care
25% about larger, maybe.
Me at all. Thank Dylan you. And Connolly are the ones that people are coming. If they're coming to see you too, nobody's coming to see me, and I'm not stupid enough to think they are. So
no, they are.
I'm going to say something.
Hopefully, I'll keep it exciting.
I don't want to keep complimenting.
No, it doesn't matter.
Thing.
I'm not fishing. I'm not fishing.
No, but I'm just. This is like part of the whole street game that I'm talking about. Like when I'm out there in the streets listening, they love the show. They love the actors, every character. They love all that. But people do know who you are, and they do want to hear about the show from the creator of the show. So
hell
give
yeah.
yourself
you're,
a little more
you're
credit,
Howard
even
Stern.
Though I don't need to tell you that.
You know, I was with
you're the Howard Stern of the group.
I had lunch with Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street, a few weeks ago. And, you know, every once in a while, somebody comes up to me and says something. But someone comes running, and I'm like, oh, Jordan is like Leo. It's crazy.
Hold on.
I'm not being funny.
What are you talking about?
Jordan Belfort.
Is like
so
Leo?
He's as big of a star, you're saying.
I'm telling you that.
People run up to him like that.
For real, someone yeah. sprinted down Cannon Drive after him with the book and said, please sign this. Two girls come over and say, you inspired me to go to business school. Yes, he is. I'm not saying he's Leonardo DiCaprio. He is one of the biggest
Wall Street stars
of someone I've been in the streets.
But every once in a while, someone comes at him with a hatchet, like, you ruined my life. I'm in the poorhouse because of you.
I have not seen that. I've just seen people love him. And, redemption stories people are into. But anyway, I don't get a lot of love. But someone was coming over, and I thought they were coming over to say something to me. So I was like, well, and it was pretty uncomfortably embarrassing. But anyway, I don't care. I'm not looking for people to come from me. Kevin Dillon is the guy. We talked about this a little bit before the show started. The reviews, we're polarizing Connolly and I. There's a selection of people that hate Connolly or hate me. Everybody loves Dylan. This guy could show up 3 hours late for the podcast. This guy could not show up at all. It's just like, Dylan's great. And look, I love you too, so I don't know what it is.
Where are these reviews coming from? I didn't even know they reviewed podcasts.
We have about 7,000. About 7,000.
Really?
Yeah, so people listen and review, and I always ask every week, if you don't like something, DM Connolly, but put a 5-star review. Don't trash us on that. You know, and whoever said we're mean to Stock Tip Dave. I just had a pizza with Stock Tip. Trust me,
we
love
Dave. Everyone loves Dave.
Yeah. He's awesome.
All right.
What I have a question.
Got me a perfect coffee today.
You talked about
this guy could shine a shoe, man.
And it's funny, right?
Four NFL teams, two conference championships games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs. With DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down at Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer? You can feel the conference championship thrills with stepped-up same-game parlays. Take your shot at an even bigger NFL payout and boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. I've got the Niners. I mean, I'm an anti-Eagles person as a fan, but I just think the Niners are winning the Super Bowl. The defense is unbelievable, and they got too many weapons on offense. I'm going with the Niners, and I think they're going to win big. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VICTORYPOD. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code VICTORYPOD. Minimum age and eligibility requirements apply. See show notes for details.
Go ahead.
Gold. But you talked about structuring the show because, like, as a live performer, I see you guys sitting on a gold mine. Have you thought about the structure of the show, top
Little
to
bit.
Bottom?
That's what I want to know.
Because I from my take, Kev, if you just put a simple structure, nothing to even stress about. Intro, meet the guy, sit down, 10 famous lines, here's a clip. let's talk, Q&A, whatever your structure
that's
is.
Yeah, that's kind of what we did, right?
If you just built it in a box and you played in the box, you kill it. You don't have any stress.
Yeah,
you know where you're going.
I think we'll be good.
And it becomes an... I mean, this is like the first of what could be a huge thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
we've done
have
twice.
A
I love the first one. Yeah. It was a smaller house. The second one was okay. It wasn't as good.
The second one was huge.
I had a flu.
Yeah.
And it was like, how big was that? Was a big theater.
1,000 seats. Yeah. That was.
How big is this one, Doug? I'm trying to.
600.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
It's
a nice
room.
The Paramount, which is one of the nicest theaters I've ever been to in Long Island.
Love it.
It's
awesome.
Scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dice sells that out all the time, but he's Dice and he does it. Yeah. I actually, we keep talking about opening. I wanted to ask Dice, hey, why don't you come with us? But it's like,
I tried to get Dice in my movie. I told you that conversation.
He said no?
It's one of the funniest things
what
I've
happened?
Heard. He goes, Mike, here's what's going to happen. I go, Dice, I'm doing an independent film. I would love you to be in it. I'd be honored to have you in it. We don't have a ton of money. He goes, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make me an offer. I'm going to say no. You're going to go back to the guys with the money. You're going to double the offer. I'm going to come back. You're going to come back to me. I'm going to say no one more time. And you're gonna, I go, Andrew, I love you, bro, but I just already know we can't afford you. Yeah. Dice does the fucking. He is. Dice does the fucking.
We do the fucking.
He is the most interesting dude ever.
I tried to get him on the Josh Duhamel movie, the
Buddy Games.
Buddy Games.
You know,
by the way,
he said no. He said, he had something that conflicted. It was a great part. He would have been great at it. It's going to be great nonetheless, but
I don't know if I've ever told this. And by the way, anyone who's listening who doesn't, for some reason, know Andrew Dice Clay was the biggest comedian in the world when we were growing up and is one of my favorites and is honestly one of the most talented people, they don't get how good he is at what he does and as an actor as well. But when we did the show, he came to my house the night before. And he brought 13 pages of handwritten rewrites.
Oh, I remember.
And but also it was right before he'll tell this. He says it in his book, which I wrote the foreword to. But his career rebounded from Entourage. Woody Allen saw it, put him in Blue Jasmine. Scorsese saw that, put him in something. Then he was Star Is Born, and he had a series vinyl. And he's absolutely amazing. But he brings these rewrites over. And a lot of it was like, I think he wanted to get his stand-up back. So in the middle of a scene, if he was saying to Dylan, like, hey, what's up, Johnny Drama? He would then go into like a 2-minute stand-up bit. I said, you know, you can't really do this. But anyway, it was so long and so draining. And then we got on the set the next day, which was Steve Tisch, the owner of the Giants, was in that scene. Yeah. And Connolly was pressuring me because there was a Yankee playoff game. He had to get out of there. And Dice kept going, I want to change this, I want to change that, and I want to change this. And
he cut it down to about 4 pages. It was still really long, if I recall.
No, it was all, it all pretty much went, and he pretty much got on book, and I said to him, I go, Dice, you are such a good actor. I'm begging you, say the lines as they are, and then I'll give you a freebie. You can say whatever you want, but get them, and he did, and it was great.
Yeah.
But the day was so exhausting, I swear this
did
is true.
Did you use any of his stuff that
no,
he...
Not a word. No. But it doesn't, like... When actors think that you need that to make him great, he was amazing in the show, and you could see it if you remember that day on the set.
Yeah, he was great.
He just pops, and so you know sometimes you have to rein him in. But the day was so exhausting. I don't know if I've told this or not, but after it ended, I got in the car, and it was not that I felt anything outwardly, but I sat in my car and I started crying. My brain felt like it was on fire, and I thought I was having a stroke, and. It was exhausting. It was absolutely exhausting. And
I remember that day being exhausting also, just from my point of view.
I remember hearing
that. I did not cry. I'm sorry. I held back.
But I don't know if you asked me, if you found me in the car and said, why are you crying? I don't think I would have been like, I'm so sad. I'm so overworked. I just think my body was
like, suck it up, bro.
You broke down.
I broke down. I almost had like a nervous breakdown because, you know, when you're on the set with 100 people and time is ticking away and you're debating every comma, every syllable over and over and over, and it's just like, and that's why. And I love Dice and would work with him anytime. But, you know, he asked me to do his Showtime show before he ever did it. And I was like, you know what? I can't. I can't cry every day.
I've never seen anybody act like he acts. It's almost like that's why he is Dice. He believed that he was Dice selling out arenas when he was like 12 years old. He would like write weird notes and pretend he was in an arena. He saw it all for himself. Yeah, wow. So he just lives.
And he's got that grind, which is what I said about us, which is why we got to get out there and sell. Dice used to get up and do stand-up in a restaurant when he was nobody. Just like, you know, there's a certain craziness to comics that, I mean, all of them have to believe they're funny, which obviously he is, but all of them have to believe it, or how could you get up in front of a crowd all the time?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a wild world. But anyway,
But you're right. He's got that grind, and that's why he keeps popping back. Yeah. You know, he has highs and lows, but he keeps coming back because he grinds.
Yeah. Stand-up will make you bulletproof, like all the fear of failure. Like, I think it's – I don't know what's harder, being an actor or a stand-up, but the failure in stand-up hurts so bad when you're in a live audience that once
you've
had
it – When you get crickets. You thought you had a funny joke.
It's just so – it's so empty and sad when you get crickets it toughens you up.
I had crickets in front of everyone I know, and – I'm not exaggerating. I did amateur for a year. It got me the money for my short film. Mark Lano of the Improv thought I was going to make it. I got people who thought I was good. I never bombed in that little arena. And then I went to New York, invited every single person I knew, including my family. And I first joke, crickets, and I panicked and I walked off the stage in front of 500 people. And it was... It was
a lesson.
Rough. I mean, you know, the next day.
It's a tough gig.
Yeah.
The lesson there is you need to make strangers laugh. I wish you would have known that from the beginning, because everyone brings friends, brings family. They think it's going to be an easier show. It's a way tougher show.
Yeah.
They know you. They're judging you. They really think they know
you. They
might
have heard that joke before.
You know what I mean? And so it's always a tougher crowd, people that know you.
But
so,
also, you know, Seinfeld in that doc, which is awesome, is like, you can't worry about the crowd. Now, I did the cardinal sin, I believe, is, you know, comedians, they work out jokes. And sometimes the greatest comedian in the world has something they think is funny that, for whatever reason, other people don't.
Totally.
I went with a new joke. Like, I was cocky. I was like, you know what? I get laughs. Like, I'm not saying my stage persona was there, but I was again, there's a clip of it. And 30 years later,
I saw it.
It's not that current. So it feels like whatever. But I had a nice... I knew how to write a joke, and I had some good jokes, and I would always get laughs. I'm not saying I was like, oh my God, this is the most original thing I've ever seen. But you do a new joke, which I did, which I still think was a relatively good joke, and it was dead.
Did you open with the joke?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was all I said.
Cardinal sin.
That was all I said. Yeah.
Try it in the middle or towards the end.
It was
end
during the baseball strike, which nobody cares about baseball anymore, but back then they did, and the umpires were striking.
Yeah, that's because you're not a Mets fan. If you're a Mets fan, you'd be caring.
But the umpires were
year.
Striking, and I was like, there's a group with a lot of leverage. I know I'm not going to the game if Pete, my favorite first base official, isn't umpiring. Okay, it's not the worst thing that's ever
it's
been
a good
said.
Joke.
I think it's a great
it's
joke.
Fine.
It's a good joke.
And it was, not only was it silent, it was people looking at me like I had nine fucking foreheads, and I was like, and I choked, and also I took out the place because I knew I could sell it out. So I'm on the marquee and I'm just an amateur. So
you said that joke and then walked off the stage.
Kevin, professional comedians are waiting behind me because it's my night, and all of them are going, when they come on the stage, who is fucking Doug Ellen? Why is this his place? Who is his place? So when I got on and did this and walked off, the next 2 hours was people abusing me. But not, it wasn't even nice.
You're talking about the other comedians.
The other comics, because I think they thought I was like some rich jerk off, but I wasn't. I got people to come pay their two drinks and show up. And my father's best friend called the next day and said, you're killing your parents. You need to go to law school or something, you know? So
that's terrible.
My God. It was tough. But stand up also, you know, Mark Lano, who owns the Improv, or did. I don't know.
You told me about his class. I took his class because you told me about it.
It was awesome. But he thought I was good. And I used to go up and drink because I was so fucking nervous. And he's like, you cannot drink on the stage. Yeah. Like, you know.
I mean, some guys do. Most,
well, when you
most
make
don't.
It. But I can't be an amateur up there with a vodka and soda, you know. But I was so nervous when I did it. And the truth is, which you've gotten by, and hopefully it doesn't happen at the opening of our show on February 11th in Phoenix. You can't worry about the audience. You know your jokes work if you've done them multiple times. And 100%. If that audience doesn't get it for whatever reason, then keep going.
Mike, how long have you been doing it for?
I'd say 19 years, and I – maybe a little longer.
Did
but
you meet
I,
like Sam Kinison?
I'd never met Kinison.
He was great.
Never met Kinison. Saw,
boy, was he
saw
funny
him.
Or what, man?
He was legend.
He was the best.
Legend. Unbelievable.
I just watched Back to School. I'm so funny.
Yeah, I mean, he was a genius. He was genius.
But you're late. You're later than that. You're
My class is Sebastian, Tony Rock, Brett Ernst, Bobby Lee from Mad TV. That was like my class that I came up with.
Yeah.
And most of those guys started when they were in college. I didn't start comedy till later. I was like, I don't know, I was just too nervous. I was always writing comedy, but always scared.
Yeah.
And then when I got to LA, it wasn't until my girlfriend at the time, Rebecca, was like, you don't take this seriously. And that was when I considered starting. I'll show you. And that's when I considered myself starting comedy.
And then
every night.
Is that when she
store.
Broke up with you after she saw us?
It was 4 months after that, after she slept with her bassist.
She's an awesome, she's got a great song in Kissing a Fool, by the way, which, as you know.
Victory the Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Victory listeners? Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the name Your Price Tool from Progressive. The name Your Price Tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the name Your Price Tool for yourself and join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. I'm happy to welcome an amazing new sponsor to the show, and I'm talking about Sheath Underwear. Have you or your friends had trouble finding comfortable underwear? Underwear that is focused on your comfort with no chafing, no sticking, no drama, and designed so that everything fits exactly where it should. And you know what I'm talking about. If yes, then you have to try Sheath Underwear. It all starts with Sheath's dual pouch system, a concept that was developed by the company's founder after enduring a summer in Iraq, day after day of triple-digit heat and unbearable chafing and discomfort. Founder and CEO Robert Patton felt there had to be a better way, and now there is. When I first saw it, I thought, this is genius. My friends tell me all you have to do is put them on and gravity handles the rest. The dual pouch comfortably cradles you just like a hammock for the family jewels. And don't forget to check out our newest additions, the Bamboo 5 and the Mesh Boxer Brief. Added comfort, added performance, added mobility. You know what? I like to wear Sheath underwear at my roller hockey games. It keeps me cool for three periods of men's roller hockey on Wednesday night. It's a whole new world of comfort and performance. The Sheath underwear is all about supporting shows like ours and supporting free speech. So make sure to give Sheath underwear a try. Go to sheathunderwear.com now and use the promo code VICTORY to receive 20% off today. That is very important. That's sheathunderwear.com today and use the promo code VICTORY. For 20% off.
But, Doug Logan.
There we go. We Kissing love the Fool. I had to do this for Connolly because he's not here. He would have given you a hard time.
Jesus is not in the room, Kev. I'm sorry. But yeah, Rebecca.
He might be the Antichrist.
Rebecca Johnson. I still think she's an amazing musician.
No,
but
she's brilliant. Yeah, she really was.
She's written some hit songs for other people.
Yeah,
right?
Kelly Clarkson.
And she cracked a whip on you and got you going, man.
She got
so
me
you
going.
You kind of thank her for that.
I mean, when she said that, I didn't see her for a month. I was out every night after that. And so, yeah.
But
probably
Mike,
broke us
Mike
up.
Young, who will open for the show, opens for Sebastian at Giant Arenas for Saget for 10 years.
10 years with Saget. Wow. By the way, I watched Saget's ticket numbers increase dramatically after Entourage. So what you did
really?
For Dice, you did it for Bob, too. And I watched us. We were playing. We were selling out no matter what, but we were always selling out 500, 600, 700. When he had the bump on Entourage, no joke, we started playing theaters consistently, 1,200, 1,500, 2,000.
How come I'm not getting anything?
It really gave him a bump, and yeah. It really,
well, people
Bob
didn't
wrote it out.
No, yeah, he has, like, dirty jokes, and he's got a not that family guy that they thought he was.
But, Kev, you know what's so funny? I didn't know he was the family guy because I had never watched Full House of my life. I knew Bob Saget from the same thing I knew Dice from, the Rodney Dangerfield
100%.
Special in 1986.
Really? 100%.
And he was like, he was a preppy, nerdy Jewish guy who told really filthy jokes, and I fucking loved him.
I knew him from Full House, so I thought he was like, oh, the nice dad. You
yeah,
know?
No, I never saw him in Full House, and that was, I miss Bob. Yeah. That was,
he was great.
Yeah. And Mike, you met him on the set? Is that how you?
I met him. in Phoenix, but you put me in touch with him. You were like, you should open for Bob Saget. I was already on the road. I had, you know, opened for Rogan, opened for Joe, you know, Joey Diaz. A lot of guys were taking me on the road, but you guys were like, you got to meet Saget. And so as I'm coming out, I did my last show in Phoenix. Bob was coming in that day. I was like, hey, man, Doug says that we should meet each other. And I got a hold of him, and he came down to the club, to the Tempe Improv. I met him. He's like, come do a couple gigs with me. So he locked me in for like two gigs, and two gigs turned into 10
years. He said, come to him or come and stand up?
What do you mean?
He said, come to the gigs?
No, come do a couple
come
gigs
do
with
a
me.
Couple, okay.
Yeah. After I met him, he was like, come open for me for a couple gigs.
Wow,
we'll
nice.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Yeah. You know. You might not like me as an opener, and I went, opened for him, and all of a sudden, boom.
He doesn't want you to be better than him for once.
So. No. And Bob was such a star that it didn't matter if I crushed and killed.
Yeah.
It just didn't matter.
He's going to get his laughs.
And you want to crush, because that way you're setting the table for these guys. They don't know nothing worse than a headliner digging himself out of a rut. Like, so, like, that whole myth of you want the guy to do worse than you, you want the guy to do very well so that the audience isn't dead. You're digging out of a hole.
I can't believe he's been gone a year. I can't believe
it. Can you believe it?
No.
Wow.
I can't. You know, do you remember?
That flew by.
Actually.
I mean, weren't we talking about that on the podcast?
Yeah.
So we've been doing this over a year.
Yeah. We've been doing this almost 3 years, bro.
What? Yeah.
The pandemic just started when we started.
No, it has been 3 years.
Yeah, it has.
It's been two.
I think it's three. I don't know.
It'll be 3 years in June.
Oh, my God.
Kev, have you ever...
This is crazy. This is flying by.
Have you ever toured on any... For, like, in a band or ever done any kind of, like, live touring situation?
No. I mean, I've done...
I used to do movie
tours where you're doing promotions for a movie and you'd go to 15 cities in 2 weeks.
Right. I'm just wondering how you'll... if you'll dig it if you guys hit a real tour. Like how you would, if you would enjoy it, could you enjoy it?
It's a grind. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Didn't love it.
Don't What's love the grind?
Travel. City after city, airport after airport.
Listen, we're not going to do 400 shows. But
no,
if we did 50 shows a year, 50 nights, a weekend, Phoenix, fly to Vegas.
Wouldn't be the same.
No.
This wouldn't be the same.
No, and it's not, you know, anyway, we'll see. But. Whoever's out there, if you got any ideas for what you want to hear us talk about in one of these live shows, let us know. Dylan, come to the show. Dylan will sign your calf.
By the way, I was in the room with you when we did the calf episode.
Yeah?
Do you remember? This, and you'll probably tell me that I'm wrong and I'm off, but I remembered playing basketball with David Arquette at Leo's house, name drop, and he had the biggest freaking calves.
Yeah.
And I remember coming to you talking about calves. Does that ring a bell at all?
Nope. And not only that, it may have for the movie, because that's why I put David Arquette in the movie with his big calves.
What a calf.
But the idea came from,
we had a calf off, me and him, because I got some calves too, bro.
I remember yours being chiseled, but his were just like Samoan thick.
Yeah, he's got thick, but I got the chisel.
His were skateboard.
The reason I am not...
Don't make me whip him out right now. I'll do it.
The reason I'm not a professional athlete is because of the calves. And Melissa Ellen, my ex-wife in Hawaii, said... I don't remember what the hell she said. Two things happened on that trip. I was reading the book Pablo Escobar. It's where Medellin came from. And two, she said something about my calves, which I've heard my whole life, so fuck all of you.
She said you need implants, bro. That's
you know what
she said.
But she didn't say it like in a mean way. She said it in some way. It was funny. And I remember back then, because think about it, you can get calf implants. I didn't actually believe you could in 2003. Yeah. But anyway, that's where it came from. You may have brought up the idea for the movie, and maybe that's where I put David Arquette in it. But
hey, by the way,
that's so
you
funny.
Just brought up Pablo Escobar. Did you see there's a show out now about like smoke jumpers?
Yeah,
another thing you've predicted.
Yeah.
You know, Aquaman, now smoke jumpers.
Yeah, I predicted a lot. So.
Is it a documentary?
No, it's a TV show.
What's a smoke jumper?
They're the firemen who jump out of the, or I don't know.
Firefighters that jump out of the plane and they parachute into, they get behind the fire. It's a really dangerous job.
Yeah, we did that in the show. I think Werner directed that movie, which is... Skarsgård, who's a genius. I think that was the episode.
So good,
and Jason Patrick was in Smoke Jumpers, I think.
It was Jason Patrick.
So, all right, well, Saturday, February 11th in Phoenix. Please come. Please suggest whatever you want to hear us talk
friends.
About. Bring 10 friends.
Stand Up Live is the venue. StandUpLive.com. Go to StandUpLive.com. Get your tickets.
Yeah, and also follow the YouTube channel. Stock tip, is there anything they have to look for in the YouTube channel? Oh, it's the Action Park YouTube channel. We have 8,000 subscribers, which is fucking embarrassing.
And we're going to meet everyone, too, afterwards.
Well, don't say that. That's 1,200 people. We'll be there for four months. I think you actually have to pay for the meet and greet.
By the way,
anyone who wants to be met, we will meet you.
Definitely.
You're
going
to have to want it, though.
Think about how you're going to do the meet and greet. Get this organized with
what do you
the
mean,
guy.
Think about it.
No, because it could be, one person could want to ask you 100 questions. You could be there for 5-7 hours.
No.
Yes.
Think about how the meet and greet is going to go,
Doug. That happened last time.
Get organized on it.
Mike August will stop.
We got to move this faster, man. This is going a little.
Dylan, you're
going
to carry a sliced pickleball racket. Anyone who goes on too long, you're going to crack them in the head.
All right.
What do you
good.
Think of that? All right.
That's fun.
Roll Slice. Slice Country. Let's ride. And Saturday, February 11th, Phoenix, YouTube channel, Action Park. I guess it's all of Connolly's podcast, but we're selling Victory the Podcast. That's it.
Be there. It's your anniversary is near, and your man ain't acting right. So you packing your dummy gear luggage up, calling my cell phone, trying to catch a flight. You know one thing straight, I'll be there, girl, whenever.